Ephesians chapter 5. Alright, you there in Ephesians 5 now?
Huh?
Alright. Verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness. Don't forget the background of Ephesians that we have been looking at. We said it's a letter. Why? And we said the letter is almost like into two parts. If you read it very well, you observe the tone. When you read in literature, which the Bible is also a book of literature, just this time around with a bit more spiritual information, not spiritual information, but information that can affect the spirit of man. Amen. Alright. You know, so we said, when you read in literature, you must be able to read tone, must be able to read tone into it. That way, you can perceive the mind of the writer. We are in such an age where, you know, people don't just care, they don't really do more Bible study. They just want you to say anything. Give me 7 ways I can prosper, 10 ways, you know. Just give me tricks and gimmicks and let me go. But if we call ourselves Christians, are you with me this morning? If we call ourselves Christians, ask your neighbor, are you with me or are you with pastor or you are cold? What the person say? Eh? I'm a pro code. Okay. So, again, so we said, you have to be a Bible student. And being a Bible student is not just about sitting on Sunday. It's about taking active decisions to know God's word. I remember when I made the decision that, you know what, I will start to know God's word. That's from over a decade ago. And I threw my entire life at it. I mean, I bought tapes, I bought books, I attended conferences, I was beaten. That was a man, you know. I was beaten, my father, you know. Why did you go to Kogi? I was already in Kogi before I called him. Why did you go to Ilorin? Why did you go to Abuja? You know, and sometimes, okay, don't do this one. Sometimes I wouldn't lie against the pastor. The pastor doesn't, that will not cause trouble. And the funny thing is that the pastor's house is at the street after our own. It's a layout. So, the other layout. So, they will have me themselves. I told my pastor that it's my daddy that I should go. I told my daddy that it's the pastor that I should go. Me, I've gone, sir. The boys now call, they now put on speaker. Where are you now? I have said you. I have said where I am. You know, but they were deliberate decisions. Don't do it. Amen. Don't deceive people. Don't lie. But my God, there's really no way for me. You know, so you have to be deliberate. But look at what Paul is saying. So we said, if you observe the tone of Ephesians, we said, the first part of the letter talks about what Christ has done for you. Then the other part of the letter starts to instruct, it starts to correct, it starts to admonish, it starts to beg, it starts to tell you what you can now do as a believer. And I said it some years ago that also must be your pattern of discipleship. That is, you don't start discipleship with telling people to change their conduct. Whenever you are talking to someone, first let them know who they are. When they know who they are in Christ, then you cannot start talking about character change. You don't meet someone today, you're preaching to the person, and the next thing you say, you have to stop smoking. No, calm down. He has been smoking years before you came. You're not going to tell him one day. He will just deceive you and say, okay, I believe I receive. Now sometimes that happens. But if you want real change, it has to be by the armor of God. Amen. It cannot be logical. It cannot be will. If you know, self-will also is important, like we said last week, which we're going to go through again. So again, you said the first part of his letter was turned towards who you now are in Christ Jesus. He said you are forgiven, you are accepted in the beloved, you are redeemed, you have all authority in heaven and the earth. Then in verse 2 he says you have been raised together with Christ. In chapter 3 he said you are part of the family in heaven. Amen. Alright? Then in chapter 4, it starts to change. Then it starts telling you, you know what? We must be of one body. We must be united, not man united. We must be united in Christ. We must cater for one another. Then it starts to tell us that he has given us ministry gifts. Don't forget the teachings that we embedded in between Ephesians. Hope of his glory, the riches of his inheritance in the saints, hope of his calling, the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints, the exceeding greatness of his power, Revelation in the knowledge of Him. Eh? Any other one? Talk. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Church and ministry gifts. Have you? Right. So again, those are also part of Ephesians. Is there a way we can even go and put them there? Just so that we can know that everything is in one place. Alright. So, in chapter 5 verse 8, he now began to admonish and say, you know, you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Can you read that to your neighbor? Ephesians 5, 8. Want to go? You cannot tell your neighbor, walk as children. Walk as a child of the light. Amen. But it's not Yoruba people that will say, when an elderly person says something, I say, one pay, what's one? You know, because the person is elderly, you now pluralize. It's cultural, so you do it too. Because the pastor said, we should not. He's my dad, you will get the fivefold ministry. Amen. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them. Then we went on and on and on. Then he showed us how that our conduct must be from the union of Christ and the church. We still that, right? That is, wives, submit to your husband as the church is submissive to Christ. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And like I said, we would not need to start doing unnecessary series and unnecessary teachings if we all can just be believers. We don't need unnecessary teaching on marriage. Just be a believer. I mean, believer. Just walk according to God's word and your marriage is fine. Even though what Paul was teaching, there was no marriage. He wasn't teaching marriage at all. Don't forget, he was teaching conduct. He has started in chapter 4. Don't be bitter. Don't allow envy in your life. Don't allow anger. Don't give room to the devil. Ephesians 4:29. He already started in chapter 4, talking about conduct. Chapter 5, talking about covetousness, fornication, adultery. In chapter 5, he talked about the works of darkness. He talked about how that you redeem the days with the will of God. You redeem the days by walking in the light. Then he gave an ark. He said, you can also use the things of the Spirit. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I told you that rather than, it's still about conduct. That rather, what he's saying that rather than lying, having a lying tongue, then you turn into prophesying. That makes sense? Rather than lustful thoughts. Right? You meditate on God's word. So you can always use the things of the Spirit to help your conduct. That's what Paul is saying. Then he now says, you know what? This thing is not magical. You are in union with Christ. The same thing he has been saying in chapter 1. You are in union with Christ. So you must take your conduct from that union. You are one with Christ. So as Christ loved the church, you must also now love your wives. Then we said, he didn't just talk about wives and husbands. He also now talked about fathers to children. He also talked about children to their parents. Then he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Fathers, don't provoke your children. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, to wrath. So he began to deal with relationships, a peculiarity. He began to deal with employees. Some employees, you know, because I remember one time someone told me, said, that's why I don't like, I think I said it, that's why I don't like employing church members. You know, because the person was trying to rob him. I said, I have outreach. We have VG, so I want to go and sleep. He said, are you going to tell your employee that you don't know that we have VG? You know, but you don't use that. Some people, when you are accepting the job offer, he did not tell them that you are a pastor. He did not tell them that you have a church on Thursday. Suddenly they have trusted you and everything. Work that they are meant to close by 6. You are leaving by 4. Now it's right to us. Amen. But it's not right to your boss. And it's not proper. Amen. The pastors have been saying that. I've been telling myself they are saying so. I've told myself they are saying that it's not proper. Why did you accept it? Amen. I remember there was one time, now I can say that's a joke. Another time, one man like that wanted to employ me. And he said, I was going to go manage his company in the UK. Why? For what? Is it for Gary? I said, no, I'm not interested. You know, and he was shocked. You know, As we do every Nigerian. When the UK is not the capital of Nigeria. You know, it just it's like water. So, you know, and it was not there. You know, some people would accept it, then start misbehaving. You start saying, I know how to do the will of God. You don't remember the will of God when you were signing the contract. Hallelujah. You know it's island. You know the road is all good. You know everything. No. Then you say, then they told you you'll be closing from 9 to 5:30. It's a 30 minutes enough to get to the mainland. How much is Lagos? The entire Lagos is small. And Lagos. Ah, I served in Kini now. I served in Lokoja. If you know how Lokoja is, we know. But this is Lagos. You can get to Afghanistan before you get to Lekki. Amen. Someone that is going to Afghanistan, we have gone to Afghanistan, we'll have given birth. You'll be on top of Milan Bridge, waiting for the will of God. You know, so you know all of that. Then suddenly, you discover that 5:30 to 6 cannot work. You cannot make service. You now start doing, acting funny. No. Employees. So Paul in Ephesians 6 now. You with me? Verse 5. Servants, be obedient. Those are not your servants. Okay. Oh. Servants, be obedient to your masters. It's talking about employee-employer relationship. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling, singleness of heart as it is unto Christ. He's saying that the way you serve Christ, that's the way you must serve. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service, as unto the Lord, not unto men. For whatsoever good thing a man does, the same he shall receive of the Lord. So, sometimes, you ask God that when you now start your own work, you do not employ people that, they will not come to shop. You know? And then you will not know that, you also did this wrong one. Amen. What teaching was that? Let God change you. You know? And I was like, sometimes the reason why your disciple, as it were, disciple, is not hearing what? He's not listening. It's because you also don't listen. So sometimes we are quick to remove the beam in someone's eyes. We don't know we have, you know, the peck in someone's eyes. We don't know we have a beam in ours. See, Pastor, I don't understand. He doesn't listen. You, Unka, do you? Oh, because we are dealing with you with the Spirit of God and the will of God. We don't talk. And I'm very gentle. You know, I just gonna say, why are you doing this? I'm actually very gentle. Amen. Like the fruit of the Spirit says we should be. Hallelujah. You know, so you know, because I don't talk. You almost don't do prayer. You call here because you know how to hide your own. Hallelujah. If I'm entering you. Mm-hmm. Alright. So, he says, you serve in a company the way you want people to serve in your company. Then he says, you masters, verse 9, do the same things unto them. That is, you also serve them. For bearing threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So, we have made it clear that the person that epitomizes all of these qualities, father to child, child to father, servant to master, master to servant, is who? Joseph. Thank you very much. So, we said Joseph is a perfect example of this. Then we went to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. As much as I know that a lot of people have used this for deliverance services, and somewhat, number one, I need to clear the fact that the believer is not meant to be delivered. The believer has been delivered from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. We are not being delivered, we have been delivered. Amen. You must stay with the tenses of the New Testament. If it's past tense, then it's past tense. Amen. Amen. You know, you don't go for deliverance. Okay, but Pastor, every time loose! That girl used to shout. So they lose her last year. Did you discover that she still shouted this year too? Next year she still shouts. Because sometimes people are just used to a particular drama. I told someone before in a meeting, I laid hands on her and she was I said, calm down. Auntie, there's nothing that is calm down. Don't turn. I want to give you an instruction. And the pastor was looking at me. You know, when you lay hands on someone, they are turning. Sometimes it shows like, I say you are powerful. I know. I laid hands on you so that you can listen to my instructions. Don't start doing drama for me. Wait. That's not the proof of God's power. Amen. Amen. It doesn't mean I want to lay hands on people to turn. No. If they don't turn, actually, they don't even, why did they mad do? You know. So calm down. My friend did it when we were younger. The pastor was saying, Luz, he shouted, he told me we do it. And I said, I see it. You know, there's a way charismatic. When someone is just giving you back, how stupid would you look? I think I was 14 or 15, you know. And I started looking at that person. If only you know that this guy is cruising around. Luz! Say, come on. I will not come on. Say, this is my house. Because we have seen enough drama of it. Enough. This man says, this is my house. No. No. Olurunbi. Almost saying, Olurunbi. Hallelujah. The believer needs no deliverance. If there's a conduct that is inappropriate, what you need is to put on the whole armor of God. That's what Paul is telling you. He says, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. It's the same thing with all of them. Principality, power. Before he started explaining principality, power. Rulers of darkness. He's just explaining spiritual wickedness in high places. Now says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So we started looking at, he said, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. So, whatever he's asking you to do, don't forget, everything he's talking about is conduct, right? How to live a proper Christian life. Someone said, but I don't think it's possible to be perfect. No, that's a lie. It's actually possible to live a perfect conduct life. It's possible. It's possible. Don't let the devil trick you into it. I don't think so. Who told you? Like God asked Adam, who told you are naked? Who told you it's not possible? Hallelujah. So he says, but for it to be possible, you have to be strong in the Lord. And to be strong in the Lord means you'll be strong in the power of his might. We explained that power is the power of the what? The power of the resurrection. He already explained that power in Ephesians 1. The real power along Megatos. The exceeding greatness of his power, Ephesians 1:19. So again, to be strong in the Lord will mean to be strong in the power of the resurrection. So that means my conduct must be because of my trust in what God has done. I'm not saying that I'm not a liar because I can stop my tongue. I'm not saying that I'm not a thief because I can, I don't have to control myself. I'm not a thief. No. I'm saying I'm not a thief because in the resurrection, he did not make me a thief. I'm saying I'm not a liar because by the Spirit of God working in me, I would not tell lies. So, I'm not reliant on self, I'm reliant on power. Hallelujah. So, Paul says, you have to be strong in the power of his mind. Then he says, how am I going to be strong? I have to put on the whole armor of God. I have to put on the whole armor of God. And we started looking at it. I told you last week, I said, Storm has taken this very funnily. Whole armor of God, and he starts sewing belts. Start doing helmets. Start, you know, start dressing funny. It's the same way some took feet washing and it bastardized feet washing. Some took Moses, put off your shoes. The ground where you run is holy ground. And then they stopped wearing shoes. Some took Paul's handkerchief and just started running with it and started buying handkerchiefs and all of that. Calm down. When he says put on the whole armor of God, did Paul himself dress funnily? No. He wore cloaks. At least we knew from 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he told Timothy, bring my cloak. 2 Timothy 4? No. Okay, 2 Timothy 4 was about bringing his books and his parchments. But it's not this morning, I'll look for that one. But there was a time he said, bring my cloak. 13, verse 13. Alright. No, that was his books and parchments. You know, I saw that. You know, he said, bring my, you're coming, just bring my stuff. You know, but Paul actually wore robes, cloaks, in Acts, when they beat him and they left him for dead, he was unclothed. The Bible says his garments were torn. and all of that. Jesus himself wore garments, wore gown. So where do you use your own old armor of God? Hallelujah. Alright, so we said that's not to be taken literally. He will tell you what that means. And I said, for every line you see in Paul's letter, it's a teaching from the Old Testament. Don't forget, the church in Ephesians did not have the book of Ephesians. The church in Ephesians, their Bible will be Genesis to Malachi. Right? Their Bible will be Genesis to Malachi. So, what happens is that Paul teaches the church. Don't forget, really in Ephesus, he taught them for 3.5 years. So, he teaches the church. Then he writes letters. Letters that back up his teaching. So again, the teaching, the letter is not a teaching. The letter is to back up what he has taught them before. Does that make sense? So when you say put on the whole armor of God, the first person that your mind goes to, really, should be David. David is the one who bore Saul's armor. He went to war with Goliath with an armor that is not physical. So Paul calls that the armor of God. He took Saul's armor, Saul's shield, Saul's helmet, Saul's sword, and then suddenly he just said, this doesn't make sense. This does not make sense. I cannot be using this thing. I didn't kill the bear with this thing. I didn't kill the lion with this thing. Then he says, so the moment Goliath came and he says, I have come to you. Am I a dog that you have come to me with stones and everything? Look at my shield. David said, I have come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Does that make sense? That is, I didn't come with stone. The stone is not my hammering. No. My weapon is the name of God. So, he bore an armor that was not physical. Paul calls that the armor of God. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Alright. So again, the person who bore the armor of God will be David. So Paul says, you too put on the whole armor of God. What would that mean? Armor, which is the word panoplia, right? P-A-N-O-P-L-I-A. We already looked at that last week. We said, the only person that uses it apart from Paul is Jesus. In Luke 11:22, where Jesus spoke about the strong man, you have to bind the strong man and take his armor. If you are going to be victorious at all, you have to take the strong man's armor. So your armor is almost like your seal of victory. What guarantees you a win? And we have looked at all of that. And so Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So how do I stand against the wiles of the devil? I trust in God's power. Does that make sense? I don't trust in myself. I don't trust in my abilities. I don't trust in my intellect. I don't trust in my strength. I trust in God. I've heard believers say, you know what? Naturally, I am someone that controls myself. Naturally, I am someone that does this. I'm someone that does that. Naturally, I don't lie. Naturally, I don't do this. And then eventually, supernaturally, they do it. Amen. Amen. You know, they pride themselves that, you know, I'm not like that. No, I have standards. As a sister, I have standards. You know, and before you know it, you find yourself in a mess. Why? Because you trusted in self, not in the power of God. Your trust must be in God's power. Say, my trust is in God's power. He keeps me standing. Amen. I recall there was a movie like that. This brother, Oliver Williams, I forgot him, yeah. And then, in that movie, how many of you know that? I think it's an old movie, it's maybe like 8 years ago or something. It was like a copper sent to a village and all that. It was firebrand, you know, was casting out devils and everything and everything and everything. So one of his disciples, he eventually came to one of his disciples, following, what's the English of following? Impregnated her. Now started eating that one. Then his life just went, pray like you have a baby to take care of. And the people to start lying about it, you know, attacks here and there. You know, and the way he started, I didn't say it's running for the movie. I said, what a good movie for tonight. The way he started, firebrand. He was casting out devils, the entire community. I think there were witches and all that were against him. He destroyed all of them and everything. Just a little sin. Have you? I don't even know just a little sin. It was just a little thing. How did you watch it? I won't call your name. Don't worry. How did you watch it? Just a little thing. Did you watch it? No. Used to watch James Bond. When I was younger, my dad did not always allow us to watch anything apart from Christian film. So I know all Zion movies. My mom is deeper. So she doesn't allow. Is this you doing Lady Baimo? You know Lady Baimo? Is this you doing Lady Baimo? Shut up! Was it more lion bear, Abby? So you had to play by force. Iguana. Alright. You know, and that movie just came to my mind now. That's how actually how it works. When you trust in your own self, when you trust in your own abilities, as opposed to trusting in God, you will end up in a mess. Amen. So Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. Let your trust not be in your oratory, in your eloquence. Let your trust not be in your intelligence. I know you are intelligent. I know you know what is right, you know what is wrong. Sometimes that can fail you. Trust in the Lord. You say, trust in the Lord, trust in the power of His mind. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, sometimes we underrate the devil and overestimate ourselves. Sometimes we underrate the devil. Is the devil. We are over him. Under my feet. The Bible says, shortly, the Lord of peace shall make the devil under your feet. We trample glory. He's good. You are overrating yourself. Jesus, your Lord and Savior, in that Garden of Gethsemane, knew that it was possible that the devil will win. Hence, he went to pray. He said, this cup is mightier than I. Let this cup pass over. That is not prophecy. That is the devil's anthem. Let it call Passover. That is the flesh winning already. But in prayer, you will make a new utterance. Let your will be done. Amen. Jesus was say, I am God in the flesh. You know, yeah. There's nothing. No shaking. Yeah, no shaking. No. Hallelujah. You want to live properly, conduct wise. You have to learn to start trusting in power, not in yourself. Amen. Are you afraid this morning? No, don't underestimate the devil. Someone that does not sleep. You know, he doesn't sleep. Oh, you don't know. Devil does not sleep now. Demons don't sleep. That's the way I think, sir. You know, because spirits don't sleep. So, sometimes when I'm sleeping, I just wake up in the middle of the night and say, but the devil is not sleeping. So I go small. Let me just shock it small. As they are not sleeping, let me give them. That one should be fighting them. Man, you can't sleep. You know, that's what I think. You are in a vigil. Hallelujah. And you are sleeping. And you want to win, claim victory. How? I want to hallelujah. You are Jesus. And you are you. Look at Jesus. Amen. It's October. So, you have to trust in the Lord and in the power of His might. He tells you how to do it. He says, you have your loins guided with truth. Your breastplate of righteousness. And I told you, just remove all those stuff. Because don't forget, he's not talking about physical armory. So first remove helmet. And focus on salvation. Remove belt. Focus on truth. Why? Because it's not a physical armor. It's the armor of God. Does that make sense? So, being the armor of God, you remove physical elements. Alright? So, how do I put on the whole armor of God? I stay in truth, right? Righteousness. With the gospel. Faithfulness, salvation, then he calls the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, praying always. Amen. That's where we are. So we said, the entire armor of God is what? The word of God, praying always. That's the armor of God. So how do I trust, listen very well, how do I put on the whole armor of God? I will trust in God's word and in prayer. How do I stand against the wiles of the devil? I will trust in God's word and in prayer.
Oh, pastor, there is this habit that I don't know, I find myself doing every time, and I don't like it. What do? Take God's word and let it make you what He talks about. Take God's word and let it make you what He talks about. Are you with me? Let God's word work in your life. Let it work. He says, how do I put on the whole armor of God? The word of God, praying always. So I love to pray. So, it says, praying always, Ephesians 6:18 now. Let's go to today. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Praying always. Praying weekly. Praying yearly. Once in a year. Is 1 year not enough? Okay. Oh yeah, once in a month. Is that not enough? Eh? Praying how often? Are you praying now? It says praying always. That's how frequent it should be. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Supplication is the word desis. But I'm not going into that today. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The word perseverance there is the word proskateresis. I'll spell it. Don't worry, it's not your language. It's not mine too. P-R-O-S-K-A-R-T-E-R-E-S-I-S. P-R-O-S-K-A-R-T-E-R-E-S-I-S. Proskateresis. That's the word perseverance. What does it mean? It means persistency. Persistency. So, praying always with all prayer and supplication. With all persistency. So, when someone tells you to be persistent, you know what persistence means? Eh? It's persistence 2 hours. When Jesus was going to talk about persistency in Luke 18, He says the woman kept coming to the king. Hallelujah. And they use that for prayer. He says men ought to pray and not to turn out badly, right? Not to faint. Luke 18, 1. Then he gave a parable that there was a woman who someone was owing. And he went to the king and he said, avenge me, avenge me, avenge me. And the king would not listen because he was an unjust king. And because of her persistency, the king would now listen to her. That is the attitude of prayer. People don't get to complain about the hour that anything is too long until it is prayer. People attend concerts. When I was younger, in Ibadan, I used to attend concerts very well. Not, church DJ. I was close to these Avastule guys. So, I used to follow them. I used to have like free pass. Even all these VJs, Bolu Mole and the rest. That you might not even get seats. I will get front seats. And we'll come late. They'll be listening to our celebrities. Yeah, my mom is to carry costume. You know? And thank God for my parents, they always allowed because they knew I was not going anywhere apart from church. So concerts, and we stay there all night. There's Big Bolaji, this lady later, this is that one MTM project, Tone, you know, Tone or something. But you know Big Bolaji, everyone knows Big Bolaji. And you know, Baba Sumishe, he was my classmate in school, you know, we went to the same secondary school. And you know, and everybody would do, yeah, all night, Yahweh, the most high God, and the sounds are, the atmosphere is electric. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. And we go, the bass, Agali, there's one man who's called Agali. He's the best guitar. He's tall. And then, people will be rolling on the floor. Thanking Jesus. Yesterday, Are, Mama Are's daughter, will come too. You know, different people. Dance drama will come. People that will do break dance will come. You know what I'm talking about. Dance drama. And everybody will do their own. We will start by 9 and we will leave by 5. And people don't sleep. So, when we started, we had a crew then, Sammy's crew. I started it with my friend, Barnabas. We started together. And, so, at the point, I told Gabriel, it was one of us too, I said, you know what? That concert that we used to go from 9 to 5, let's try and see if we can pray. Everybody like this. Will there be keyboard going under? A keyboard. So the first one, there was keyboard playing. You know, it's easy to play. Oh, pray when there's keyboard. Da, da, like all these chant songs. You know what I mean? Adonai. So giving us chants. So And you were praying. When it got to 2, I opened my eyes. Behold, even I was in blankets. He got to turn fan. He put the fan on himself. Hello. So I said, how are we going to do this now? So we started with 4 hours or 3 hours. Then I said, then before you knew it, we stopped going to all those concerts. Rather than go there, anytime they have concerts, we now have prayer meetings. So that our members will not go there. You know? And we developed the attitude of prayer. Some watch football. You watch 90 minutes. You first watch pre-match analysis. You watch 90 minutes, then you now watch post-match analysis. Then you see what the next game. But when it comes to prayer group, it's too long. In prayer group, you just walk up and down, and it's complete. Amen. You know what I'm saying, Abby? You just go, level sound about it. It's sincerely. And by the time you come back, you're saying, let's give thanks. Let's. It's 4 hours for crying out loud. Hallelujah. The pastor, I don't know which prayer group are you talking about. And the 2 hours will soon increase. Amen. Because we are growing spiritually. Hallelujah. Are we not? Thank you, Jesus. Which church, which kind of church is this? So Paul is praying always. That's the armor of God. That is the sword of the Spirit. He puts you on the attack. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. With perseverance, persistency. Persistency means I will stay. Persistency means I will wait all night. Persistency means I'll keep doing it. Praying with all persistency. When you pray for missionaries, when you pray for yourselves, when you pray for your disciples, you are putting on the whole armor of God. So it says, praying always with prayer and supplication, watching and supplication for all saints. So when you pray for saints, missionaries, yourselves, that street, your disciples, you are putting on the whole armor of God. Does that make sense? Then it says, verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So Paul now says, pray for me. So, another way to put on the whole armor of God is, you pray for your pastor. We're in such a time that, it's even easier to drag, is that how they call it? To drag a pastor. Like generator. You have not these social media platforms. To drag a pastor. To troll. They can call it troll. You are trolling a pastor. That's interesting. Some people say, you know, pastors have money now. We were talking about that one. What day was that? On Friday. The pastors have money. Go and start church now. Start it with sincerity. Don't corrupt God's word. And don't go to Babalawo. That's the one. That's the latest one I'm hearing now. You go to Babalawo. I don't know for what. You go to Babalawo to preach the gospel. Are you mad? You go to Babalawo to collect power to preach the gospel. People are mad though. Who sent you to use juju? It's because you cannot pray. Eventually, who are you deceiving? How are you going to stand before Jesus on the last day? Juju DM will. Kupo. Kupo. You didn't pray for your pastor. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes, let me just say this. If you see anyone who is pastor, learn to appreciate them. And I'm saying this, not just for your local church, especially those who have been proven to not corrupt God's word. Like Paul said to Timothy, those who labor in word and in doctrine. 1 Timothy 5:17. When you see those people, appreciate them. It's not the easiest job on earth. It's not. So Paul says, this is Almighty Paul, says, pray for me. Pray for me. When I was younger, I never wanted to be a pastor. I was doing things. I wanted to be a pastor because I saw the servitude, the labor, the almost slavery of people who are pastors. There's a pastor like a pastor Kwame Ajayi, Benew in Christ. You know Benew, that Afani junction where they used to sell akara at night, close to Pastor Barney's office. There's a church like that was Paco. Yes, you know Mama Charity now. Yeah, that shop, we grew up in the same area. You know, that was a church. It's Paco. I used to go there. I saw that pastor. I saw his sweat. Now, because there was a time I was at home for a while. I used to just go there to pray. And I'll be here because the pastor's office, the entire church is wood. The pastor's office is another wood that is at the back. But often he doesn't know that someone is there. He actually doesn't know. When I went there and I met him praying, that prayer, he cannot tell me he's not crying. He was crying because I could hear, I could hear tears. And he, because I stayed there for about 3.5 hours, I met him praying, I left him praying. I don't want to say what his prayer is about, but it was sad. And then someone, one idiot, will go online and say, pastors are rubbish. One was even trolling Paul, say, if not for the foolishness of Apostle Paul. On Twitter, when I saw that one, move back straight. Even not for the foolishness of Apostle Paul, that is the one that's tired of this nonsense. He was talking about honor, that Paul was so foolish that when we see on the last day, he had better catch my hand. You know what that means? He first slapped Paul. That's what it means. He said, he had better catch my hand because I'm going to woos him. You, bloody Nigerian. You. When Paul says Gentile, who do you think he's talking about? You are quoting Ephesians to spite Paul. He's talking against Paul and he's quoting Galatians. Oh, there. How far can you go? Someone commented, he said, Jesus is the one that handed over that ministry to Paul. Acts 9, he said, Jesus is not thinking true. That was the last nail on the coffin for me. I said, Yahweh. There's no other, I cannot say it in English. That is, he's mad. Paul says, pray for me. Amen. He's kind of the God of these kind of people. He says, pray for me that utterance be given to speak boldly, to explain, to teach, to announce the gospel. Pray for your pastor. See, I always say this. Your spiritual growth is determined by your pastor. You cannot outgrow. I'll say it again. You cannot outgrow spiritually anyone who is pastoring. You know, you find some folks, they will stay in some churches because they feel they can change, what do you call it? They can change the church. So man walk. What did we not try? You know, he said, I know something, but I'll change. You cannot change anything. You cannot outgrow the pastor. Don't forget, everything, some things God will tell you through your pastor. We're talking about in the seven churches in the Revelation. God wanted to talk to them, and he spoke to John to talk to their pastor. That is two places before you. You cannot outgrow that person. So if you want to know God more, if you want to serve God more, then you pray for your pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very important. You got to pray for him. Not just for the teachings. Also pray for them in the natural. You know, because if the pastor is overwhelmed with needs, it can affect your spiritual growth. You know, a very happy pastor will teach you very well. You get what I'm saying? A pastor that has peace in his heart. But when a pastor comes and just saying, can we turn our Bibles to Matthew 28, verse 20? Are we there? Yes, sir. Read it. What did he say? Jesus came and said, all power is given to me. Verse 18. Go to death and be yours. Verse 20. Read. Teach them whatsoever has your energy. And let them tell you. In the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. So what did you learn from that? So, that discipleship. Okay, so today, I don't have much to say. Why? His heart is troubled. Amen. Pray for your pastor. These are things that we don't stress enough. I remember this Ghanaian pastor, Pastor Mensah Lotabi, yeah. Very, very, very great man of God. And he said something. He said some years ago, 2014, so that's about 8 years ago. And he said that as a pastor, his day is a crazy up and down of emotions. I think I've explained to you guys before that he can start the day calling a member who just got a job. And as he's dropping the call, another member who just lost the job will call and say, I just lost my job. And as he has to be happy for this one and be sad with this one. As that someone gave birth to a child, he will go there and say, ah! And then as he's leaving, someone's mother just passed on. I'm sorry. And as that, someone just got scholarship. And as that, they are calling for someone's conduct that they just expect from school. He says, look at the up and down of the day-to-day life of a pastor. Then he ended it with something I will not say. And some of you say that you will not so sweet. That's what he ended with. But take the first part. Hallelujah. And I began to look at it and said, that's true. That's true. That is too true. You are answering two WhatsApp messages at the same time, and they are opposite emotions. Pray for your pastor. Because at the end of the day, they also have emotions like you. They also have needs like you. They are not superhumans. Okay, that's not from your own mouth. Hallelujah. It's not a superhuman. So Paul says, pray for me. The scriptures instruct us to pray for pastors. Pray for those who are over us in the Lord. Hallelujah. So we have to pray for pastors. Because the truth is, pastors are the first target. The first target. If the devil wants to destroy a church, he just goes for the pastor. He doesn't go for you. Why? Sometimes the devil wants to get to a man. He can go to the pastor. Did Jesus not say it in Matthew 26, 31? Strike the shepherd. Hallelujah. Strike the shepherd. He said, the sheep will flee. Matthew 26, 31. Strike the shepherd. The sheep will flee. Of course, he's quoting Zechariah 13, verse 7. So, your pastor, your leader, your discipler, they play a vital role in how much of God's will and how much of God's things you partake of. I'll say it again. Your pastor, your leader, your discipler, they play a vital role, very vital role, in how much of God's things you partake of. So pray for your pastor. That's what I'm saying. You pray for your pastor. Say, do you pray for your pastor? Eh? That's okay. I didn't hear. Ask her again. Do you pray for me? Eh? If you don't before, don't worry. We are now on the same track. Just promise that you keep praying for me. Amen. So let's have scriptures that instruct us to pray for pastor and for what? Romans 15. With me this morning? So Paul, after all the letter, he now said, pray for me. Hallelujah. Romans 15. Verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Can we verse 31 together? What's the prayer? And that my service I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. That I may come to you with joy by the will of God. And that with you we will be refreshed. So we are praying for our pastor for deliverance. Deliverance from evil people. Deliverance from people who do not believe. We're also praying that the service is accepted by the saints. What does that tell you? That tells you that how much of your pastor's ministry is accepted out there is your responsibility. I was in pastoring 7 years ago. 7 years ago, no. But I told someone that they just started a ministry then, and he was saying, he doesn't understand that. He would have preferred a ministry like he mentioned the church and everything. I said, listen to me. This church you just mentioned, they made their pastor like that. I said, it is the way they have put their pastor that made you revive him too. And he was talking about Christ members. I'm just saying. I said, you observe the way you're, Pastor Chris. You know, if you have been around, in and around those people, you will know what I'm saying. I said, listen, they made their pastor's ministry easier to accept. I knew someone one time or other that emptied his account to ensure that they produce disc. That's not even a new thing in that place. To produce disc so that they could distribute it for free. Rhapsody of Realities is paid for not by the church, and they produce every month. I said, it is the men that made the service acceptable. Said, I don't know. No. You have a responsibility. That's what Paul is saying. He says, pray with me that my service I have for the saints is accepted. So, is it our responsibility or just the pastor's responsibility? Huh? So, is this ministry now? No. It's our joint ministry. Paul is telling the church in Rome, pray for me that my service, as I'm delivered, that my service is accepted. Does that make sense? He also says in verse 32, that I also come to you with joy. You want a joyful pastor every time. Amen. Right? I'm always full of joy, right? You want a joyful pastor? Or you want a pastor that will come and cry? I've seen it before. He was teaching and he was crying.
And you said, forget about it.
And I felt, what are you doing in this church?
In fact, it's meant to be on air. You have to take it off. It was in Ibadan.
And I said, what are you doing here? He said, my friend, what kind of members do they have here? Whatever is making your pastor cry, hallelujah. He says, pray for me that I come to you with joy. Because the truth is, sometimes the burden of the work can make you low. The burden of the work.
Thank you, Jesus.
Alright. So that's one. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You learning something? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the God which raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a debt, and yet does deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You also help him together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. See, he's saying, pray for us, that whenever you see us, and whenever we use the gift of God, that you may give thanks on our behalf. Amen. And every time you see your pastor, you can always say, ah, thank God for pastor. In 30 years time, you can always say, ah, thank God for pastor. The pastor taught something some years ago. Thank God for pastor. Say, pray. That's the prayer point. That you can be able to say that. Hallelujah. Keep praying. So, are we instructed in the scriptures to pray for pastors? Because some people just pray for themselves. You, your husband, your children, your siblings, your family, your job, that's all. Where's your pastor? Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, okay, that's where we're coming from, so we just skip it. Philippians 1, verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ out of envy and strife, and some out of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your what? And the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So the supply of the Spirit is also the saint's prayer for their pastor. How do you supply the Spirit? You pray for your pastor. It's the supply of the Spirit. It's when we come together and we pray for our pastor. Things that are meant to us then, we turn to their salvation. Amen. Amen. You learn something? Colossians 4. Verse 2. Can we read verse 2 to 4 together, everybody? Continue prayer and watch the same intense giving. Huh? Pray also for us that God will open to us to speak the mystery of Christ, that I may make it manifest as I ought to. Amen. That God will open a door of utterance to us. Amen. So it means that you are responsible for your pastor's ministry. If you want more revelation knowledge, pray for your pastor too. That will speak as we ought to speak. Thank you, Jesus. To make manifest the mystery of Christ. That's explanation of the gospel. As I ought to speak. So it's your job, oh? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25 says, brethren, pray for us. Hallelujah. This is Paul. He's rounding up the letter. And he says, brethren, pray for us. So you cannot claim to be a member of a local church, and you don't take at least a time of your day to pray for your pastor. That is delivered, that his needs are met, that he can come to you with joy, that he can always give thanks for him or her. Now what is meant to us them will turn out for their salvation. That they are delivered from unreasonable men. Hallelujah. Say, I will pray for my pastor. Say, I'll pray for my pastor. Say, I'll pray for my pastor.
I'll pray for my pastor.
Say, I'll pray for my pastor.
Amen. And they look people when they want to pray. Amen. I just say, I still want to pray. I beg.
Amen. Alright, let's look one more. Or two more. Or three more. 2 Thessalonians 3. Verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have a free course. Amen. You want God's word to have a free course, JST Media? Pray for your pastor. Hallelujah. That the word of God has a free course. And is glorified even as it is with you. That is, the way you have received the ministry of your pastor, you are praying that others too will receive the same. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable men and wicked men. For not all have faith. Amen. So you are praying for your pastor for deliverance from unreasonable men. And that the word of God has a free course. Philemon 22. Verse 20 says, Yeah, brother, let me have joy of you in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write unto you, knowing that you will also do more than I say. But with all of this, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be given to you. So he's telling Philemon, after he wrote to him about Onesimus, he's saying, you know what? I know you will do more than I asked you to do. But you know what? Prepare me a lodging. Prepare me somewhere I will stay. But because I'm trusting God, that he will give me to you. What is he saying? He was in prison. He's saying, but if you pray, amen. He said, if you pray well, shall, I'm trusting God that I will come to you. Just prepare a room. Hallelujah. So we can actually pray out availability of our pastors. Pastors will always be available for us to teach, to guide, to mentor, to train, to be a friend. Because the truth is, if there are problems, your pastor will not be available. So is that why you're not available on Thursday? No. Hallelujah. I was around. Hallelujah. How many of you saw me? Okay, I was around. Yeah. Oh, was there trouble? I didn't know. My condolence. No. Hallelujah. I was around. I even came before some of you. But you can pray availability for your pastor. Amen. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but let's read it. Hebrews 13. So I don't want to assume that it's Paul that wrote it. Pray for us. For we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you, rather to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. Hebrews 13, 18 and 19. Pray for us, that we are restored to you sooner. Amen. Amen. Alright, so, because sometimes we don't protect the vessel enough. What I say? We don't protect the vessel enough. We just, you know, we receive from the pastor, we receive everything, and we don't get to protect them. You actually can protect your pastor. You say, pastor is fine. Pastor is fine. Ah, pastor will pray. Pastor will pray. Pastor is fine. Pray for your pastor. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the devil did not need to attack Israel. He just attacked Moses. It's as simple as that. Attack Moses. Israel was scattered. So take out time to pray for your pastor. It is part of our daily walking in God's plan. It's part of putting on the whole armor of God that you're praying for your pastor. Are you with me? So go back to Ephesians 6. I trust that someone is inspired to pray this week. Amen. So what did we say is the whole armor of God again? Huh? The word of God praying always. Alright. So we said, your pastor's ministry being accepted, is it just your pastor's responsibility? Huh? GSTmedia.org. All around the world. Is it just my responsibility? No, it is our corporate responsibility by prayer, by service. Amen. To see that the word of God gains a free course. It's also all our responsibility. So you must know that if you want to know more of God's word, then you have to pray for your pastor. You have to pray for your pastor. So let's continue. So it says, pray for me, Ephesians 6:19, that all trials be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. For daring I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So again, if you want accuracy in the preaching of God's word, pray for your pastor. You receive a pastor boldness to teach. You receive a pastor doors of utterance. You receive a pastor. Amen. Amen. Alright. Verse 21. But that you also may know my affairs. And now I do. Tychius, a beloved brother, and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known unto you all things, whom I have sent to you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that you might comfort your hearts. Peace be unto the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all of them, with all them that love our Lord Jesus in sincerity. Amen. And we come to the end of the book of Ephesians. Summary, a book that tells you that you are God's child. A book that tells you that God has used all of his power. Play for me as I close. God has deposited his power in the believer. A book that tells you that we are seated in Christ. Amen. Amen. It starts by calling us saints. Saints. It's not people that are dead that are saints. No. It's the people who have believed in the gospel of Christ. What a book. What a book. What a book. What a book. It tells us of the exceeding greatness of God's power.
that is at work in us and towards us. Amen. He tells us we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. He tells us that by the reason of the cross, by the reason of the resurrection, Jesus has broken every middle wall. There's no distance between us and the Father. Where He is where we are. He says we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 2:6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says we are saved by grace through faith. Not of works. It's not, no man can boast. He says it's the gift of God. Paul has so much emphasized in this book that the believer in Christ is saved. Saved now and saved forever. Hallelujah. Then he goes ahead and talks about our conduct. He's telling you that, see, don't worry. You know what? Don't be perplexed. Don't be anxious. I know there are some things you want to fix. I know there are some attitudes and conducts you are not happy with. He says, but you must look at the union of Christ and the church. You must take strength from there. And you must not rely on yourself. You must rely on the power of God. You must rely on the armor of God, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, which is yours, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Amen. And he says, you know what? You put you on the attack. That in your conduct, be on the attack. Be on the attack with the word of God and prayer. Be on the attack. He tells you not to give up. Like I told you last week, there is no armor for the back. Hallelujah. There is no armor for turning your back. There is no armor for saying, you know what? This is where I am. This is where I am. This is where I will always be. Nothing can change. No. Things can change. We saw that by the power of God, Saul turned to Paul. The same person. Same name. But different character. Hallelujah. Because the power of God can work in a man what the word of God talks about. The power of God can make you perfect. In your conduct, in your outlook, in the way you respond, in the way you talk, in the way you act, in the way you do things, in your actions, in your inactions, the word of God can have preeminence in your life. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, let us walk as children of the light. That's who we are. He said, you are sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk now as children of the light. He tells you how you can harness the gift of the Spirit, the workings of the things of the Spirit, to your conduct. And we have seen how we ought to be good children, good parents, good employees, and good employers of labor in our different fields, wherever we find ourselves. One thing we know for sure is that we can walk in the light. I walk in the light. Then it tells us that how do we put on the whole armor of God? It is the word of God praying always. Praying always. Praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. With perseverance. That's persistency. And so we know the attitude of prayer. The attitude of prayer is such that a man has to be persistent. A man has to be persistent. Prayer is taught that it must be done always. We saw it every time. Continue in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Amen. And we saw that he asked us to pray for pastors. Those who are over us in the Lord. To pray. To pray. Pray for their protection. Pray for their perseverance. Pray for their for their needs. Pray for them in the natural. Hallelujah. That they come to you with joy. Not with grief. Pray that the door of utterance is open to them. These are our responsibilities. Amen. Can we just pray this morning? Just pray in the Spirit. Don't bother about prayer points. Just pray in the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God praying always. Is this how you want to pray? That the word of God has a free course and is glorified even as it is with you. That the ministry, our service is accepted of the saints. In everywhere, in every place, in every tribe and in every tongue, our service for the saints is accepted. In every campus, in every street, Legabos Tembarapaida Casa, La Brother Legera Gosha, Lebanco Cavatia Patapatia da Costona, Brethren, pray for us. As a church, the word of God has a free cost. The word of God has a free cost. We need you to pray for us. Matomba para kakabonza la ya diye de batista. Praboronde le gede bo subre bebe gede 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 balansan. Ebe sumbra bahata la bala diyande. Iba kounda sabba hadere de gizada balada. A pa 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 da 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 du du son. E da de le gede bo subre bebe gede gede son. That the word of God is glorified in every place. That we are delivered from unreasonable men. From all the ones that do not believe. And that there is always utterance. The door of utterance is open. In all the nations, the door of utterance is open. In the name of Jesus. Doors open. Doors open. Doors open in all the nations of the world. In the name of Jesus. That the word of God has a free cost. Yourself, that your conduct is that that becomes of a child of God. Don't forget, how do we put on the whole armor of God? The word of God and prayer. The Spirit of God is working. Working in my mind. Working for my eyes. Working in my speech. My conduct is like a child of God. I'm walking in the light. In the name of Jesus. I'm walking in the light. I don't walk in the dark. I don't walk in darkness. I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm a child of God. True and true. Pray for yourself. My conduct is that of the child of God. The Spirit of God is working in my tongue. Working for my eyes. In my speech. In my thoughts. The fruits of the Spirit are my fruits. The things of the Spirit are my things. My conduct is pure. As that that becomes the child of the light. I walk in the light all my life. All of my days I'm in the light. I am bearing fruit of the light. Pray for yourself. Put on the whole armor of God. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication. With persistency. Amen.